We're joined by Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee, and he's been very active in a couple of major debates playing out in the United States Senate. One is related to the National Defense Authorization Act, the other about pending Senate consideration of a United Nations treaty regarding the disabled. And Senator, I know just here at week's end, as you've considered the National Defense Bill, you and a California Democrat, Dianne Feinstein, a combination which some of our listeners might find a bit of a surprise, came together to make sure that one of the more controversial provisions in this bill was not going to be a problem anymore, and that was the risk of indefinite detention of U.S. citizens. How did that problem arise, and what does your amendment do about it?
Well, a year ago, my friend Senator Feinstein and I came together around this issue because we were concerned that language in last year's National Defense Authorization Act could be read to suggest that the government has the power to detain U.S. citizens indefinitely, without trial, without charge, based solely on the nature of the allegations against them. And this is dangerous. It violates the Fifth and the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, and it's not something that we as Americans should tolerate. So we put together a bill called the Due Process Guarantee Act, and that says basically the opposite of what we read the NDAA last year to say. And it says that if you're a U.S. citizen and you're detained in the United States, you're entitled to charge and trial, nothing in existing law can be read to suggest otherwise. So that passed last night as an amendment to this year's NDAA, and it passed with broad bipartisan support. There were 67 senators who voted for it, including 20 Republicans.
And now that that has been amended, are you fine with the NDAA?
At this point, I am. It's still a moving target. It's still a work in process. At this point, I'm comfortable with the NDAA.
The last issue we want to talk to you about, sir, is, of course, the United Nations Treaty on the Disabled. It's being presented by its supporters as one that is sympathetic in making sure that those who are disabled have as many rights and accesses as possible. But you see it as a threat to American sovereignty. And in particular, I know that the homeschooling community is concerned about this. Explain why.
Well, first of all, I want to make clear that I, like all of my colleagues, those who are on both sides of this treaty, I am concerned about the rights of the disabled, and I'm pleased that the United States has the most robust set of protections in place in the entire world to protect the rights of the disabled. This UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities is ultimately something that I oppose because it undermines U.S. sovereignty and it tries to internationalize domestic policy. And I'm uncomfortable with that. A number of parents groups, a number of groups consisting of parents of children with disabilities, particularly those who choose to homeschool their children with disabilities, are especially concerned about this because it contains language suggesting that in deciding what is the proper standard of care and educational treatment for a disabled child, the best interests of the child standard shall be a significant factor. The problem with that is that it takes away rights that belong to parents, and it potentially threatens to put the government in charge of decisions that ought to be made by the family and not by the government. It also contains a number of other provisions that otherwise threaten to undermine U.S. sovereignty. It contains language embracing what are known as economic, social, and cultural rights. This is language that the U.S. has for decades refused to incorporate into any treaty ratified by the United States because it was developed by Soviet bloc countries during the Cold War as an indicator of a willingness to embrace forms of socialism.
And, of course, any treaty in the United States Senate would need two-thirds support. From what I've read, it looks like you've got more than enough of the one-third to block this, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It takes 67 votes to ratify a treaty. It therefore takes 34 no votes to block ratification of a treaty. I've got 36 senators who have signed a letter that I wrote suggesting that we will oppose ratification of any treaty brought to the floor of the Senate for ratification during the lame duck session. So far, our 36 votes are holding, and we will continue to push on this one.
Very last quick question for you, Senator. Some listeners have suggested that this could be snuck in at a time when maybe not everyone is around. Do they need 67 votes solid, or do they just need two-thirds of those present to pass it?
You know, I believe they've got to have 67 votes from people who are present. So I don't think they can get around it simply by, you know, getting three people on the floor of the Senate and getting two of them to vote for it. That's a fun thought, though.
Well, you never know with some of the rules that we talked about earlier. So
that's right. In some instances, you can pass legislation like that, but to ratify a treaty, it works a little bit differently.
Very interesting. Sir, thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.